resolve, and sure grittiness.
It starts with an attitude. We need swagger, okay? Regardless of what happens out there, doesn't matter. Keep your swagger.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Five Hole Fantasy Hockey. It's good to be back.
What?
It's good to be back. It feels good to be back on the air. I'm your host today, TJ Branson. With me, Zachary Vogel.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, man. It's good to be back. So, everybody, you know, I talked about my bipolar earlier on in the season and kind of how I've been struggling with that. I quit my job, and right now, I'm going to be shooting tequila with a Red Bull chaser.
Okay.
If anybody wants to know what it's like to be in manic phase, that's exactly what it is. My life was, you know, not great. I wasn't in a good spot for a long time. A long fucking time. So the manic phase has definitely begun. I'm feeling a lot better. I'm feeling hopeful again. So, cheers.
I'm drinking Crown Royal with a Diet Coke chaser, so I'm here with you.
Oh, fuck. My Red Bull's not even open yet. Tequila's not for me, man, but it's what we got.
I did quite a bit of drinking last night.
Yeah, what were we up to?
I went out with a couple of friends to music bingo. When I'm down for mingling, I'm very good at it. So I made a lot of friends, and we ended up all going to this pool bar where we continued to drink. Like, I was meeting these girls I know, and then my one buddy Carl came out. While we're leaving, at the end of the night, Carl face plants into the fucking gravel, and like, he fucked his face up good.
Did Carl catch up too fast?
Like, as soon as he got there, he got a beer and then a round of shots for everybody. Said, okay.
He's ready to party.
Okay.
He was ready. All right, let's reel it in. World's going to shit, so let's talk about fantasy hockey.
The world is going to shit. Actually, before we talk about fantasy hockey, I just want to kind of make a quick topic about this whole thing going on with Russia and Ukraine. We're not a political show, but I'm going to give my two cents if anybody cares to hear it. Like a lot of people, I think that Putin is a piece of shit. This is 2022. And he can't go fucking invading countries like an asshole just because you want your childhood dream back of the USSR. It's not going to happen, man. The possibility of a land war between the rest of the world and Russia and China, which seems unpleasant.
I don't want to do it.
I'm even worried about his own people, the people that are marching in the streets of Moscow, and I wonder how many hundreds or even thousands of people have already been detained, arrested, disappeared, whatnot.
Quite a bit.
TJ, I know both you and Raj are Ukrainian.
Shout out to Joel, too. Здравствуйте.
I can't imagine if, you know, anybody has family in Ukraine.
Joel.
My wife is from Romania, which shares a border with Ukraine.
Yep, my wife's Hungarian.
And one thing I've even asked is, I said, hey, like, what's going on with your brother who lives in Bucharest, the capital of Romania? And it's like, are they worried over there? And they are. Luckily, a lot of those surrounding countries are fully accepting people coming from Ukraine. On the hockey side of it, there's a ton of Russian players in this league.
Mm.
They're good people. They have teammates that love them. They live here. They have families here. And some of these guys are getting death threats and just horrible things said to them. Just because someone's Russian doesn't mean they hold the same ideals, just like you may not with your own government at times. So don't take it out on these other players that are from a country who is doing some bullshit right now, but it's not them doing it. It's not them.
Yeah, I mean, the KHL had to turn off comments on their Twitter feed. So they would put a post out and you could not comment on it because of how much, you know, hate is there. That's not what we need right now. There's a word in Russian that there's no English equivalent to. It's Tosca or Tashka or something close to that. It just means this like soul crushing melancholy, this unfathomable sadness. And I think that's all over the place right now. You look at this kid, this guy, Zelensky, man, like not many people knew about this guy. You know, you see pictures of Putin on the back of a fucking bear with his shirt off and giant pecs. And you got this guy, Zelensky, going in and fighting, just, you know, good on him. You know, we're rooting for him. I am.
I wonder what Artemi Panarin feels about all this, because he's been a, you know, big outspoken person opposing Putin.
Yeah.
Which has already come to problems, you know, earlier last year.
I feel like I don't want to know how he feels, just because I don't want that to be a thing. So I'm glad he's staying out of it for now. Let a lying dog lay, that kind of thing. I mean, obviously we want the war to stop, but there's enough opinions out there where we don't need him getting in trouble and not playing hockey anymore. And then, you know, he can't feel great about it, I suppose.
All right. Enough of that. I do appreciate it. I just kind of wanted to talk about it. And I honestly felt like we should. I know we try to be, you know, a little bit of a distraction kind of from the everyday world. And we don't talk about a lot of that kind of stuff. But this is too huge to not talk about. Yeah. And especially dealing with, you know, something that does hit, you know, home with, you know, hockey in general. So thank you, TJ. And, you know, if any of y'all have family over there, my prayers are going out to you. Love yous.
I've been listening to you guys, you and Raj, this, you know, over my hiatus. No, I'm back. I'm putting the hole back in five hole, baby. I'm here. I think we're at a point where we can start talking about week-long holds again. The COVID list hasn't been that long. The injury list is, you know, knock on wood, it's back to normal. Looking forward to the week preview. I think that's going to be a fun one. But we're here. We're for the weekend preview today. We're going to be doing some mailbag questions. But take us to the injury report. We got some big ones here today.
Injuries. We got Ilya Samsonov. He actually took a shot up high during practice and had to leave. It sounds a little concussion-y to me. So I'm sure he's getting checked out for that kind of thing. I couldn't imagine what it's like taking a fucking slap shot to the dome. Next up, one of our guys, Valeri Nichushkin, is sidelined with an upper body injury that has him down to dance. Everybody, I think, still knows what down to dance means.
Yeah.
It means day to day.
DTD.
For all you nerds out there. He could possibly be back on Thursday, but nothing is certain for now. This is where, you know, a possible Alex Newhook pickup could make sense, as he's the one that's most likely going to be replacing Nichushkin on that second line for the time being. So if you want anybody, if you're trying to get anybody in that top six, really you're not going to have a chance, except
yeah, if take a look. I like Colorado's schedule next week. It's not bad.
One of my guys up next, Jonathan Dolan, he took a cross check to the face and got whiplash. So that sucks for my guy. It seems like Jonathan Dolan is kind of just in and out of the lineup all the time, and it's getting on my nerves because I'd like to see him play more, even though I hate the Sharks.
Yeah, it was good when he was getting rolling.
Andres, I'm hurt again. Kasha is hurt again. Sorry, TJ.
Used to it.
But like, you know it. Like, I've actually been preaching Andre Kasha this year. Like, I picked him up earlier in the year. He was doing great for me. I have Matthews in our home league, and I picked up Kasha, and he helped me out. But he got hurt, and he, you know, got bumped off that top line. And that top line is so, like, they were trying to find a spot, like, who can fit there? Who can fit there? And finally, Michael Bunting gets put up there, and it's done. It's done.
They're not looking anymore.
It's done for.
They found him.
Like, Kasha is going to be buried into that bottom six now. So, like, you have to think that even when he does come back, it's not worth it unless you're feeling real fucking froggy. You know what I mean?
You want to tell me how Michael Bunting is still 23% rostered right now?
It's crazy. It's crazy. Why? What better are you doing?
77% nerds out there.
What better could you possibly be doing? Do you have anything to add here, TJ?
No, man. That's it for the injury report. Let's get into the weekend preview. We got some heavy teams. Four teams playing three games and a couple, like, actually five teams. Five teams playing three games. Yeah.
Yeah, five teams it is.
Yeah, man. So we're going to go quantity this weekend. As far as quality, I mean, Sunday's not an off night. I think there's nine games on Sunday, so pretty packed. There hasn't been like a, you know, crazy heavy day to the point where you're having bench issues or anything like that. So Friday, Sunday, we got a couple of those teams in here. Who do you like first?
You know what? I think I'm going to go to my current hometown, Carolina Hurricanes. I like these three games in 4 days, and that's what we're focusing on, because why the wouldn't you?
You know who's been really good? I mean, we're not picking him up, but Teuvo Teravainen. Just want to like stick tap out to Teuvo right now. 8 points in his last seven games. He's been on fire.
Teuvo Teravainen is already 84% owned. I mean, you're not going to have a chance at getting Aho. You're not going to have a chance at getting Svechnikov. So, I mean, in some leagues, you know, 16% of leagues, Teuvo Teravainen is still available. So, like, if that's the case, then...
Go for it. Yeah. But I wanted to give him a little spotlight here. He's been crazy good and shooting, which is nice to see.
I think the focus here, at least for me, is on that third line. I know you like Trocheck, and I get that, and I'm not saying that that he's not good, but that third line is playing really well right now, and they've actually accounted for points in four of their last five games. That sounds pretty good to me.
So we're talking Jesper Fast, Nino Niederreiter, Jordan Staal at this point.
Well, we're talking Jordan Staal and Nino Niederreiter.
I mean, Fast hasn't been doing poorly. He's got 4 points in his last seven, but no, only six shots, which he's hitting.
But if I had the choice of who to pick up out of that top three, he is number three.
Who would be your number one?
My number one, I think, for me would be Jordan Staal.
Jordan Staal for the Bangs. Nino's got power play time.
Dude, it's Jordan Staal for the everything. It's the everything.
Yeah, face-offs as well.
He just does it all. He does the Bangs. He does the points. He has 4 goals and 4 assists in his last 10 games. But he is the most rounded player here, so you're getting everything. Because even in points leagues, you know, a lot of them, you're at least getting some sort of points. 4 bangs and 4 blocks and stuff like that. It's not just strictly points. So if somebody, you know, is shooting 3 times a game and giving you 2 hits and 2 blocks, yeah, I'm fucking in for it. And Jordan Staal is only 22% owned. Are you taking Niederreiter in this situation?
No, I was just curious. Their schedule is not bad either. I mean, Carolina kind of spends the rest of the season punching down at this point. Like, you know, they play the Capitals, they play Pittsburgh, two very good teams. Capitals kind of, actually, and the Penguins too, have both been reeling, but you know, they're still good teams. And then you got Seattle on Sunday, so this is a pretty cushy schedule, I think, even for somebody like Carolina. And those opponents, there are a couple players out here that I would normally suggest, like Seth Jarvis, just based on what he did early in the season, but he's been so cold that it's really hard to even talk about him. Brady Shea, is there any interest there? Like, I mean, Jacob Slavin's on power play one right now and 63% rostered. So, you know, relatively, but, you know, if you had to go for a defense position here in Carolina, who would you be looking at?
I guess it would be Brady Shea. As you know, I like Ethan Bear, and he's actually been playing really good actual hockey. It's not showing up on the score sheet, but, you know, he's helping them win games. He's making really good defensive plays. So, and it just sucks that he's not getting any of the points that, you know, he was sometimes getting when he was back in Edmonton. But I will always like Ethan Bear. Out of them, though, I would have to say it's Brady Shea. Unless Jacob Slavin is available, then I guess he would be my pick.
Yeah, I mean, Tony D'Angelo out another, you know, 3 to 4 weeks at this point. Slavin taking over power play one. That's the switch right there.
Trade somebody for Tony D'Angelo.
Might as well. I mean, you know, 1 month from now, we're looking at April. You know, you bring him into the fantasy playoffs. So if he can, go for it.
I don't mind this, though. One last person that I want to bring up is Antti Raanta. I always love my zero G pickups. I do it a lot, as you're fully aware. I like to gamble on picking up goalies, especially in points leagues when you're getting wins for, you know, or you're getting points for wins and saves and all sorts of stuff. If it makes it worth it, they're super viable to pick up. And if you hit, it's fantastic. The whole thing with Antti Raanta is, you know, it's whenever he's available, whenever he's not hurt. He's playing pretty well this year. I will say that this Freddie and Raanta pairing is much better than the Peter Mrazek and Nedeljkovic look that they had last year with a little sprinkle in a Reimer. You know what I mean? That doesn't sound like a very delicious cake. As much as I like Ned, I like Freddie better. And, you know, Raanta is a fantastic backup. I'll take Raanta as my backup goalie any day of the week. But when he's playing on this Hurricanes team, who has the number one penalty kill in the entire league, I like anything about it. He's only 12% owned. If he gets one of these, back-to-backs, and it, you know what? In all honesty, I will take him in either one, even against Washington and even against, you know, a second-place Pittsburgh team that they are trailing the Canes. I think the Canes are still going to win it, put more points in between them, and what are they? Like, I think they're only, you know, 5 points up. And actually, 5 points is a decent spread. And they're about to put two more.
Yeah, I like him, especially against that Pittsburgh team. In the last 10, Jari is 4-4-2 with an 8-9-8. But he did have a shutout in his last game against the Rangers. So, you know, Rangers not being any slouch at this point. And your other option is Casey DeSmith.
Ew.
If that's what's going to happen. And Pittsburgh is going to be coming off a back-to-back of their own. So you don't know who they're going to play. They got Tampa. That's their other game. So you have a depleted Pittsburgh Penguins team that's just coming off Tampa, which I would imagine they play Jari. Either team makes sense for Jari. Maybe they even go back-to-back with Jari in these two games. But, man, I am not playing DeSmith. I like Raanta a lot better in this situation, especially, again, in that Pittsburgh game, if that's the way it goes.
Are you going to bother asking me about what I think about DeSmith?
No.
Or can we just move on?
Yeah, let's just move on.
Okay.
So I see you got the Chicago Blackhawks highlighted here. And, you know, you got Brandon Hagel, which I think is a really good move.
Yeah.
What do you think about Dylan Strome in his role right now?
I'm fine with the role that he's in right now. And I'm fine with Kubalik on the left side right now. But neither of them are scoring points right now.
Yeah, it's rough. Together, they have 1 point in the last 5 games, and that's Kubalik. They both have 8 shots, which is pretty neat. But again, that's not even two a game. Patrick Kane and DeBrincat are taking all the shots.
And they're getting all the goals, and they're assisting on all of each other's goals. But you know who can still?
Yeah, you tell me about Hagel, I'll go for Connor Murphy. How about that?
That sounds super par for the course.
Yeah, it's really not far off.
Dude, Brandon Hagel can come out and score a goal any day of the week. In fact, he had he was going through a little dry spell. He was like, no, I'm going to trap a fucking hottie on you. All right? I'm going to score 3 goals. All right? Just to make up for those last 4 where I didn't score any. Because that's what Brandon Hagel does. And at only 3% owned, he is super, super available. Come on. I will say this. I want to see some more consistent shooting, however, from Brandon Hagel. So sometimes it's curve. It's like, hey, I'm going to shoot once this time. And you know what? Tomorrow night, I'm going to shoot 6 times. Do that all the time, Brandon Hagel. You know what I mean?
Did you see McKinnon had a 14-shot game? Did you see that?
Yes.
Incredible.
It's unnecessary. But dude, Brandon Hagel, for being on the third line, has fantastic time on ice. Most games, he's in the high teens now, and a lot of them you see he's over 20 minutes. He's a third liner. Brandon Hagel is on the ice all the time for a reason. He can get goals.
All right, I got Connor Murphy coming up next, who bangs. He's got 3 hits, 3 blocks a game. You know, I like Hagel, but I want him for a Saturday stream, which is really strange. Like, they're going to play the Flyers. So that, yeah, I mean, that's a gimme. Anybody can win. I wouldn't be surprised if both teams lose that game, but you know, they're both really bad. But they got the Oilers and they got Tampa as the rest of their schedule. So I'm keying in on that Saturday game if I'm looking for points. Bangs are consistent.
You can score on the Oilers, though.
Yeah, all right.
You can score on the fucking Oilers.
You can score on the Oilers, but you got to get the puck. So basically what I'm saying is, like, if I'm going headhunting for points, it's going to be against Philly. That's our best chance of points, and that's, I think, undeniable. Bangs are consistent, however. Like, you're gonna bang up against Edmonton, Darnell Nurse in there, and Evander Kane, and, you know, you're going to bang. And then you got Tampa. Tampa's a heavy team. You got Maroon. You got everybody, like Chernak. People are banging. Connor Murphy, I like that consistency. And yeah, I'm only pandering to our, you know, our banger leagues right now, but, you know, you covered points pretty well. I think Strome covers the deployment stream, but Hagel is kind of like hedging our bet on the odds because I really don't see anybody else making that move. I mean, Kubalik himself is only 25% rostered, so he's somebody worth looking at. But look at that time on ice, 12.36 average over the last five games. Brutal. He's on line one. Hagel Bagel is out-minuting him.
Like in a big words way. Again. In a big way.
In a big way, yeah. Like he's playing seven game more. Half a game more, yeah. It's brutal. You know, the deployment game, you can play that all you want. Dylan Strome, line one, power play one, but he's only got eight shots in his last five. That makes sense if things go the way they should, but they don't. Sometimes Brandon Hagel scores a hat trick. So, you know, I think you take a chance on either one of those guys again against Philly. I don't know how many points they're going to be scoring against, you know, Tampa. I like this next team here because I think Minnesota, number one, they have a fucking cushy weekend up ahead, and then they have a really pretty next week too. So we're talking seven games that I really like over the next week and a half. So I want to focus in a little bit on Minnesota. I like where you're going with Matthew Boldy because I think what he's put together in his rookie season is impressive. We're talking awesome, Marco dude. Rossi this, Marco Rossi that. And Boldy comes out of nowhere and he's say, like, don't forget about up. Me. You thought shut I was second tier. Up. What? Yeah. There ain't no second tier when it comes to the Minnesota pipeline. But Matthew Boldy looking fucking good. 32% rostered. Yeah, he is kicking tits right now. Matthew Boldy is my lock.
He's not just kicking tits. He's Miley Cyrus fucking rocking tits, dude. If Matthew Boldy is not owned in your league, then you should own Matthew Boldy.
That second line with Freddie Gaudreau, Kevin Fiala, Matthew Boldy. Kevin Fiala is on his second half shit. He's going for it. All right. Fiala has arrived. That's what's happening since I've last been on the show. Fiala's fucking here. Boldy's along for the ride. Frederick Gaudreau, whatever, man. Like he's a top six center in the NHL. Thank you, Bill Guerin. Ryan fucking Hartman still on his shit.
Player on that team.
Dude. Joel Eriksson-Ek last year was having such a crazy good fucking year. Looks like this defensive stalwart, like a Sean Couturier 2.0. And now he's a third line guy and still looking really fucking good. I don't know, man. I love this team.
You know who's not looking really good? Ryan Hartman. I dropped him finally. And he's next to Kaprizov. And I dropped him. I couldn't do it anymore. I do that to myself. I will sometimes hold on to a player too long. It's almost like you want the stock to go back up.
Yeah, you're betting on it.
But I did. I finally dropped him.
Can't sell the dip.
But I'm actually interested in picking him back up because it's not going to stay like that forever. Just keep watch on it because honestly, okay, so this is it for me. It's the shots. You know me. It's the shots. He stopped taking them. He was shooting four, five, six times a game on goal. And now one, zero, one, one, two. You're not scoring because you're not fucking shooting, Ryan Hartman. Shoot the fucking puck. Shoot the fucking puck.
Yeah, it's dried up. Something fierce. Power play time on ice is going down. don't know what to tell you, man.
Andy's on the top line. One more zero G that I want to bring up here. My guy, Kaapo Kähkönen. He's actually pretty decently owned. He's owned in 48% of leagues, which, you know, I guess sounds about right, which would be like a high tier backup. And I've also noticed that the split between him and Talbot really isn't as high as it was last year. So Talbot only has 11 more games started than Kaapo Kähkönen. I'm going to keep on pushing this train here. He's sub three on his goals against average. He has a really solid, you know, above 900 save percentage. The roast beef sandwiches are a little high for me. I still like Kaapo Kähkönen, and I'm not going to stop. And I'm gonna continue to push that. He's good, man. He's good.
All right. Here's how you sell this. Is one of the games is going to be against the Flyers. The other game is going to be against the Sabres. That's all you needed to say.
I'm trying to sell the long-term idea.
I think he's a one-game stream.
I'm not trying to sell this game because this game is easy to sell. I'm trying to tell people about, you know, keep cacking in your mind. Don't forget about him.
That's all I got on the sodas. Got the Sens up next, man.
I like Ottawa. Ottawa can jump up and bite you sometimes, but I think they're going to lose to Florida.
You know, Josh Norris is on his way.
I think they should win against Arizona, and then they play Vegas on Sunday. And I think Vegas right now is a fucking toss-up. Like, unfortunately, it's a fucking toss-up. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. But if I'm going to pick somebody, I'm going to pick Tim Stützle, 32% owned. And I dropped him, and immediately after I dropped him, he went on a three-game goal streak. Now, he hasn't had any points in the last two. I think it's the best play here on this team, hands down. I mean, you're getting the shots. You're getting the time on ice. And really, from that second line, you're getting the innate ability for him to create his own shot. Because that's what Tim Stützle can do. He is capable of creating his own offense.
He is shooting, which I'll give him like two shots a game. Man, I got my sights set on Connor Brown right now. Line two, power play two, 10% rostered. He's got five assists in his last seven, two of them on the power play. 18 shots, second behind Brady Tkachuk, because of course. And he's got one hit, four blocks there. I don't know. I think Connor Brown's the play. Like, I like suits and everything, but...
And Connor Brown will bang sometimes, too.
I like Zub for that. Zub, you know.
R10.
Yeah, he's got 11 and 11 in the last seven games. So
there is no Dana. There's only Zub.
I'm digging him a lot. There's a lot of bangs here, but Zub is the most well-rounded. You know, Sanford's got 11 hits. Zaitsev's got 11. Holden's doing some blocking. Zub's doing both. Brandstrom's blocking, but he ain't doing shit else. Austin Watson for bangs. A couple points in his corner too. Josh Norris, actually. I just want to emphasize that. He's 45% rostered right now as of recording. I think he's going to go way up by the morning. He's back. And line one, power play one. He is center only, but he was on a tear before he went down with injury. So
him and Tkachuk play really well together.
Get yourself some Norris. I think, you know, he's the guy. He's the guy I would want first and foremost. Personally, I'm going Connor Brown number two, and then I'll go Stutz three. Very close three.
Connor Brown over Stützle, huh?
Yeah, baby. You got the Lightning up next.
Corey Perry, he's my guy. He is on a point push right now, man. Point push, he has like three goals and three assists in his last five games. And he's doing all of this. I'm going to really sell you on this one right here. With like 12 or 13 minutes time on ice.
Sold.
His shots, he's in that time. He's shooting. He's attempting shots. He's getting two of them, you know, around. Actually, pretty much habitually, he's getting two shots a game. But the save percentage is still staying there. It's slightly above his career average. But also, Corey Perry has been playing for 32 years. So, like, it's a long career average. I think he's shooting like high 14s. I think it's like 14.9 or something like that. I forget. But his career average is, you know, in the high 11s, I think. So I don't think it's, you know, out of the world.
They have not been playing a lot lately. Like only, you know, a few games over the last 2 weeks, and now they're starting to get some games back too. So maybe they're rejuvenated at this point. It's nice to get some cooch points on the top end of some of my teams here. You know, the big boys are doing it. You got Sergachev way up there. Maroon is even scoring some points too. And always look at McDonough for Banks. What do you think about your boy Sorelli, man? Where's he at?
Not scoring points. I am a firm believer that he is getting unlucky because I watch a lot of those games. And I noticed when Sorelli's on the ice, because it's hard not to notice him. He's doing stuff out there on the ice. He is playing Anthony Sorelli hockey. But he's a big proponent of stuffing the goal in the net. You know what I mean? He likes to play that down low. And a lot of it goes in. But lately, it just hasn't. So even on his breakaways, he doesn't have like an elite shot. But what he does have is, you know, breakaway speed and, you know, a down low game. It's just not going in right now.
I see you got Brian Elliott up next. Is that because of the Red Wings or is there, you know, a long-term play here a la Kapo Kakkonen, or is it just the Red Wings?
No, it's because of the Red Wings. And I think that they still have the firepower to win that game. Now, and the whole thing is Vazzy plays all the games. You know what I mean? He hasn't played since February 11th. When he does play, I want to pick him up. So if he's going to get this start, which I'd imagine he would, because what's the point? What's the point? Really, what is the point of running Vazzy out just game after game after game? If he's going to pull another back-to-back, there's no reason for him to play a back-to-back and then play Detroit.
Yeah.
This is exactly where you put Brian Elliott in, and I am super in for that pickup.
I'll take it.
And honestly, I would take Pittsburgh either, but you don't have to. But you don't have to. That's the whole thing. Hell, if it were me, I might even put Brian Elliott in there for Chicago. Because get the man some fucking games, and Vazzy doesn't need to be playing. You're going to make the playoffs. I want my goalie fucking fresh.
Yeah.
He still has to play, but you don't have to ride him.
No, I like that. I like that Detroit game too. Last up, we have the Vegas Golden Knights, who have the Ducks and then Ottawa after a Boston game. So that's looking pretty pretty. Maybe they can fix things over this weekend. What are they? They're like 1-3-1 since Jack Eichel joined the team.
Yeah, I know. It's a bad look, ain't it?
Yeah.
It's a bad look.
But you got Laurent Brossoit out there who's going to maybe get the Ducks. The Ducks have also cooled off something fierce. Like they were top of the division.
Scheduled for the Ducks.
Yeah. So, you know, let it ride. I like that as a pickup. So, wait, let's talk, because we've talked a lot of goalies this weekend. Let's rank them. You got Ranta. You got Brossoit. You got Elliott. You got Kakkonen. How do you rank them?
Oh, that's good.
I like Ranta number one.
That's good. I like Ranta number one as well.
I would maybe take Kakkonen number two. Just because of, like, it doesn't matter what fucking game he gets. I think he wins. Kakkonen is not good rusty, though. That's the thing about Kakkonen, is if he has a lot of time off, he's going to put up a roast beef. And that's what I don't like. He'll get a win, but he'll get an 870. So that's my problem with Kak.
I'm actually almost leaning Brossoit.
For number two? With the Ducks?
Yeah, for number two.
All right.
And then Kakkonen would be right behind him. The Ducks aren't exactly putting up a ton of points right now, and Brossoit hasn't been playing bad. That's the whole thing for Brossoit. Like, he's been playing pretty well in his last, like, five or six starts. I know he has had two sub-900 games, but he's only gave up more than three goals once in this little four-game loss that he's had. And really, three goals isn't really anything.
Yeah, you should be able to win.
No offense. Yeah. He hasn't had the goal support. You get that man's goal support, he's going to win you games. He's letting in one, two goals a game, and he's losing. So, yeah, I do trust Laurent Brossoit. And I know that I suggested him before, and it didn't work out. And, like, I feel like it's my fault. So I was like, yeah, you should go pick him up. And then he goes on a losing streak. But I still trust him. Like, I really do. So I think he might be my number two. And then I would put Kakkonen number three, or even, like, 2A. You know what I mean? Like, I think they're right there. And then Brian Elliott, I would put in last place. I still like Brian Elliott.
And I assume DeSmith would be last.
I'm not even putting DeSmith in the conversation. No, like I would literally, I would never pick him up ever.
So
ever,
who do you like when it ever. Comes to when we're talking
forever.
About forwards?
Ever
forwards from Vegas. Who are you digging?
Riley Smith. He's actually like number one, I think, for me. Riley Smith, 37% owned, and
he's shooting a lot.
He is shooting, and that's the whole thing. So, and that's that, man, that's what I look for. It just is. It's just what I look. It's one of the first things that I look for. It's top tier when I'm looking for people to pick up. And then I look at the people that shoot a lot, and then I kind of go from there. He's not scoring a ton of points right now, but he's scoring pretty well. He has 3 goals and 1 assist in his last 5 games, so that's pretty fucking solid. That's still 4 points in 5 games. But it's the shots, man. He has 17 shots in that same span.
Yeah.
And, you know, that the reason he has 17 is because that 5th game ago, he had 1 shot on goal. But, like, these other games, it's, like, 4 shots, 5 shots, 3 shots. Like, he's shooting a fuck ton.
Since Eichel joined the team, he leads.
I'm in.
He leads the team since Eichel joined. And that's not what you would think. Awesome. You would think like Eichel's fucking peppering, but he's not. Riley Smith and Jack Eichel have the same amount of points over the last 2 weeks. Smith's got more shots, and surprisingly, Eichel is hitting and blocking at over 1 a game, which, you know, is not something I would have guessed coming off injury.
Is this a time to buy low on Jack Eichel? Because there was all this fucking hubbub. You know what I mean? There was all this hubbub about him starting. And I was one of them.
Yeah, I think there should be. I mean, Jack Eichel is Jack Eichel. You're looking at Pacioretty out right now. Stone is out right now. I think things are gonna turn around. But I think Stone is probably this year's Kucherov. I think he won't play until, you know, the playoffs. But Pacioretty, you know, in and out right now. He's day to day. He didn't necessarily look 100% when he came back. Like, he hasn't been shooting the same amount. He's like, there are a lot of one shot games in here, which is not Pacioretty's thing. You know, he didn't play Tuesday, he didn't play Saturday. So just from an undisclosed injuries.
Number one, don't get it twisted. Nikita Kucherov could still be this year's Kucherov. So
I don't know. I don't mind Chando Steves either.
The whole Jack Eichel thing, I would be in on it. Chando Steves is going to get assists like Chando Steves does. He's not, you know, fuck him on goals. It ain't going to happen. The whole reason he's on that line with Eichel is he got moved from the center spot to the right wing. And because, well, they had to. Eichel, you're supposed to be taking the shots. And he's not. So I'm taking Riley Smith here.
Yeah. I mean, then I would look at Stevenson as well. Those would be the three players I'm looking at. If I'm looking for defense, I mean, there's Braden McNabb, who's banging up a storm, not getting much in the way of points, but, you know, there's that. So if we're looking at D, we're looking for Banks. That's what's happening here. There's not much in your power play one, power play two are Petrangelo and Theodore, both over 95%. So you're not getting power play time.
So that is all of your teams that have the 3 games in 4 days. Obviously, you know, I love that. Why would you not love 3 games in 4 days? Again, that was the Carolina Hurricanes. Then you had the Blackhawks, we talked about, Minnesota, Ottawa Senators, Tampa Bay Lightning, and the Vegas Golden Knights. So, like, there's a lot of teams this weekend that have 3 games in 4 days. And if that doesn't blow your skirt up, there's also actually a ton of teams that have 2 days in 3 days, you know, on a Friday, Sunday.
How do they do that?
Well, all I'm saying is they're 2 off days. So there are some other teams that actually have a decent schedule. It's just that we can't talk about everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Limited amount of time. So we got to get to the mailbag at this point, too.
Fuck yeah.
Vezzy wants to know, how do you guys manage to host a podcast with all of your thoughts on players, whether it be buy low, sell high, streamers, etc., and still have an edge in your fantasy league? You know, with everything being public, we go on the air, we tell you guys who we like, who we would pick up, and then, you know, play in leagues with the same people.
And then I actually go out and pick those people up. That's how.
So first of all, Vezzy, you are assuming that we right now have an edge in our fantasy leagues. which doesn't always happen. So I think that's a bit presumptuous to, you know, we talk about a lot of players. We can't pick them all up. You know, my number one guy for this weekend is, I think, Matthew Boldy. I love the schedule he has. And then going into next week, you know, turning one acquisition into seven games, I think Boldy would be the guy. And if I were so inclined, I would be picking Boldy up as I'm talking about him. So if you play in a bunch of leagues with me and you see me adding one player across six leagues, it's probably, you know, I'm recording. That's what's happening. I'm recording and I'm getting him before you. And, you know, if there's other guys, like we've talked about, you know, maybe a dozen, maybe 15 players today. So I have options. I have options. We can bet on anybody.
But Matthew Boldy is really good.
All right, next question. How much faith do you have in the Habs fantasy-wise rest of season? And if so, is there anybody that you're particularly interested in? This is coming from Tomasino is better than your favorite player here in our Discord. So let's first of all, let's talk about the Montreal Canadiens. Over the last 10 games, you know, still kind of bottom of the league. They're 5-5. So they have a 500% 500 win percentage at this point, and they've been putting up, you know, two, maybe three goals a game. Now, the players on this team that are worth talking about, I think, are Cole Caulfield and Josh Anderson. I don't know where you're at with this one, Zach, but I mean, Caulfield has been fucking unstoppable. He's got 9 points in his last six, putting together just a comeback year, which is nuts. Like, you know, he gets sent down and then he comes back and he's just been crazy. Like, one, two, three, four, five, six goals over the last, what, nine games?
Is Nick Suzuki too highly owned for you? Because you know me, I love me some Nick Suzuki.
I don't think anybody in Montreal is too highly owned for me. Yeah, he's got 6 points in his last six, too. So, like, I'm there for that. But, you know, Cole Caulfield, 51% rostered to Suzuki, 67. Caulfield has 9 points in his last six games with 20 shots, leading the team in both points and shots.
That'll happen.
Over the last 2 weeks. Josh Anderson, 6 goals in his last six games. Obviously not something I'm betting on rest of the season. He's not going goal per game, and he's definitely not shooting, you know, 40% the rest of the way. But Anderson bangs. Anderson scores every once in a while.
But Josh Anderson does that weird shit.
Oh, my God, he does.
You know what I mean? Josh Anderson, he does that weird shit.
So, I mean, you look at Montreal's schedule. There's not guys that I'm picking up and that I'm holding, you know, for the rest of the season. Maybe Cole Caulfield, I'll give him a little bit longer of a leash, but I'm not, you know, clutching him. I'm not putting him on like a do not drop list or anything like that.
No.
But, you know, they got Calgary and Edmonton the rest of the way. Every single game they play is going to be tough with how they're playing. So, I don't know. I'm looking at the guys who are getting points. I'm looking at Caulfield. I'm looking at Anderson.
On top of the fact that their goalies are Samuel Montembeau and Andrew Hammond right now, that doesn't help either.
All right, next question coming from Chudboy 3000 Max here. He wants to know what our take is on the power play situation in New Jersey. There's points to be had. What's the rumblings on Severson and Dougie? What are your feelings on this one?
I'm a Severson owner. I own zero shares of Dougie Hamilton, I think. I like Damon Severson. Always have. I've actually held on to him, and I've been happy that I did so, to be completely honest with you. He keeps on scoring me points, and that's what counts, because I like points.
10 points in his last nine.
I talked about him, you know, a couple of episodes ago. He came to me as a streamer. I just streamed him, and I said, hey, you know what? Dougie Hamilton is out. I'll pick him up until Dougie gets back. Held on to him just to see, because there was really nothing better out there.
So what I think happened here is, you know, Dougie goes out, Severson takes over and does so well and is doing so well that there's no need to change it back at this point, especially with, you know, you look at Dougie's time on ice and it's not where it normally is. So maybe they're easing him back. And with that, you're also letting Severson grow in his role. Like somebody who's playing so well on the top power play at this point, you let him have it, because that gives you Dougie Hamilton on your second power play unit instead of overloading the first when there's nothing that needs to be changed at this point. I think Severson holds power play one until
he loses it.
Yeah, until he loses it. So I think it's his to lose.
That second power play unit is not bad though either.
It's not bad. And New Jersey is fucking scoring at this. Like they're putting up points. There's a lot of people that I wish Jersey had a good schedule this weekend, because I'd be excited to talk about Jesper Bratt and, you know, Igor Sharangovich and Nico Hischier and all these guys. Dawson Mercer. Like, there's players worth checking out in Jersey that I wish they came up. Anyway, you know, I'm riding Severson for as long as possible at this point, and, you know, just understanding that there's a better chance that it doesn't happen all year, I don't think. So, I mean, with Severson, yeah.
Oh no, I don't think that it's going to happen all year. If it did, that would be just fucking fantastic. However, you know, I told you I am a Severson owner, and I'm glad that I picked him up. And until I have a better reason to drop him other than you're scoring me points, and I like points.
Yeah, he is 34% rostered at this point, so he is still available to be picked up. Take a look. Okay, next question. Coming from Grizz. Is Bob going to be the next heavy volume starter to slump? Or more generally, which goalies do you see rebounding from current slumps, and which do you worry might slump? Okay, so I talked about Tristan Jarry earlier in the episode, that he put up a shutout in his last game, but the last 10 look like an 898 for him, 4-4-2 or something like that. So
been bad.
Not doing too well. I think he's overworked at this point. He's put together a lot of volume. I think he's going to wind up crashing. I also hate to say it, but I think Markstrom is going to hit a rough patch here. From what I remember, and Raj is going to have to correct me on this one, I can't remember if it's Markstrom that has a really tough time in March, or if that was Lundqvist or somebody else out there. So somebody's going to have to chirp me about that one. But something in my gut just tells me Markstrom's going to have, he has to. He's putting together too good of a season. So, you know, good things can't last. I think Markstrom might catch some flack here. They've been playing a lot of games too, a lot of catch-up games. They have 5 games next week, so that's going to be 2 for Danny Blades, but I don't know. I got a feeling.
It's like old times. You throwing cold water on people that are doing good.
That was literally the nature of the question. I guess in terms of Bob's, like, there's always that chance.
Dude, give Bob's a break. He's finally doing good after, like, 3 years in a row of doing underperforming.
Let's say this. Next week, the Panthers have Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Philly, and LA. So Bobby's going to slump, it's not going to be next week. I'll just say that. All right, next question is Brave Traveler. He wants to know, he says, I'm curious your opinions on the upcoming trade deadline and what it could do for some teams. Like, do you have any predictions? What teams are inclined to make these kind of moves and really go for it? I know it's hard to predict, but he's interested to hear our takes. So I guess first off the top, like, what are some of the teams that you think are shopping?
Well, I think the Leafs are shopping. I think Colorado is shopping to solidify things.
Yep.
I will say about Carolina, I don't think Carolina is going to make any moves. If they do, it'll be something small, and that's about it. But teams that I think are interested in making a splash would be Toronto, number one, and maybe even in Edmonton. I could see Edmonton doing something crazy.
They just traded Alex Stalock. I know it's like it's not huge or anything, but they traded a goalie to San Jose for future consideration. So they're clearing something, I think.
Oh, the good old-fashioned future considerations.
Yeah, I have no idea what that means. Like, how do you cash in on that? I'm looking at TSN's, or the fourth period, rather, their trade watch list, and it just seems like clickbait. Like, number one, Jacob Chychrun. I don't think he's going anywhere. If he does, you know, Florida, Carolina have been in there. Boston could be there. Boston always seems to make some unfair move every trade deadline that's just like, oh, my God, you got to be kidding me. I fuck these guys. Claude Giroux is on the trade block. I don't know if he makes that move. You know, Colorado's in there. St. Louis is in there. Apparently, Minnesota's one of the teams he's reported to want to go to. I think that would be fucking rad because Ryan Hartman is your number one C right now. And you put Giroux up there, I'm in. But I think it is. I think it's going to be a boring trade deadline. Like, we're looking at guys like Ben Chiarot who might get moved. You know, Calvin DeHaan, Mark Giordano, Jeff Petrie, Jake DeBrusque.
I would be interested in John Klingberg
yeah.
going somewhere else, though. Like, finally let the man go.
Friedman said that it might be an off-season move and that Seattle would be an interesting fit. Keep an eye on Noel Ashari, too, because he's going to sneak back and somebody's going to want him because people like centers.
Somebody wants points.
He is Minnesota build. Hardworking, just random fourth-line center that they could put on the first line. Noel Ashari, watch out. Watch out. Billy Guerin loves that shit. You're telling me I can get a fourth-line center and all I need to do is trade Luke Kunin for Nick Bonino? Sign me up. Hello, playoffs. To summarize, it's going to be a boring trade deadline. I don't know if there's any impact players. Giroux, like if there's one of these, you know, perfect fit scenarios. But you also look at some of the teams that are in this playoff picture. Like, look at what happened to Toffoli. He got traded, and now he's on the third line, second power play. That's what happens to players that get traded to good teams. You lose deployment because there's no deployment to go around because that team is good in the first place because they have a top six and they have a top power play that's fucking chock full loaded. So, you know, just temper your expectations with these trades. There are a couple that I could see making an impact. Giroux being one of them, Chychrun being one of them. But if he goes to Carolina, he's still behind Tony D. If he goes to Florida, he's still behind Ekblad and Weegar.
What about an interesting one of being Rickard Rakell?
I think this is the year Rakell goes to the Leafs.
That would be something. But then where does that put Rakell? The friggin' third line?
Second or third line. Maybe they move Kerfoot to third line center again. Who knows? But I don't see him as a top line guy.
Oh, not there. Not with Bunting playing the way
he is. Not with Bunting the play.
Not with the tic-tac-toe passes that they're doing for goals right now.
Them and Carolina have been just looking too good. It's not even fair.
Yeah.
All right. Next question. Oh, the FH origin story. We've told this one a few times. We're getting good at it. So Zach and I work together, and we played a lot of fantasy hockey. We listened to hockey all day. We were listening to Keeping Carlson in the Kitchen. And back then, there was the Roto Hockey Show, the Razzball Fantasy Hockey Podcast. And the amount of time we spent talking about hockey and fantasy hockey, we were like, fuck it. Let's buy a mic and do it.
We were fucking around, and we would just what we're doing now, we just did while we were working. The only difference is we have a microphone in front of us now. And we would argue, too. Like, we would fucking argue. Me and TJ would just yell at each other about picking up certain players and who would be better. And then disagreeing with people on other podcasts. Say, nah, fuck that.
Let's see. The next question is just Jack Hughes. Grit. His question is Jack Hughes.
The answer is yes.
Yeah, I also agree. I think yes.
That's my favorite question. That is the best question out of all of them so far.
I responded to him. I said, this is just a name. And he says, Jack Hughes, .. how good he is, .. He's got 14 points in his last 8 games. New Jersey looks fucking good. He's over a point per game now. His shots are over 3. I don't trust what New Jersey's doing right now as a whole, so I think everything is pretty amplified. But I do think...
But I trust the direction that they're moving in as a team. As a team, as building a hockey team, I trust that. And Jack Hughes is the biggest piece of that puzzle. So, yes, Jack Hughes.
He is a half goal per game on the year. He's got 6 goals in his last 7 games. So, like... You know, he's not the poster child for sustainability at this point. But, you know, if you're in a one-year league, Jack Hughes right now is a perfect sell high. I think a lot of these New Jersey Devils are perfect sell highs. Severson, I would put in that category because I do think he falls off. I do think Hamilton takes power play one over again. And I do think New Jersey just, you know, comes back down to earth at some point. They're not scoring, you know, 4 or 5 goals a game. So there's that. But, you know, keeper league, enjoy it while you can. And dynasties, I think you can enjoy it as well.
But I feel like I've been saying that all year. All year I've been saying, yeah, you know, New Jersey isn't a great or fantastic team, but you know what they can do? Randomly just score fucking 5 goals against you.
Yeah.
I've been saying that all year long, and that hasn't changed. So if that hasn't changed for the entire year, why does it have to change for this latter half? Now, I don't think that they're going to, you know, kill it in the long run, but they've proved me wrong all year.
Mm-hmm.
And I've liked Jesper Bratt all year, and he just keeps fucking going. I've liked Jack Hughes all year, and he just keeps on going. And then they have a whole bunch of auxiliary pieces. I like Dawson Mercer. I like the, you know, the little speed and quickness and little, you know, ratty bitchiness that he brings to the game. But he puts the fucking
Jesper Bratt is 60% rostered. Come on, guys.
You know what I'm talking about. 40% of you are
fucking nerds. All right. Last question here. Actually, there's two more questions, both around goalies. Grifter 500 wants to know our thoughts on the goalie situation in Toronto. Zach, we were talking before we went on the show. You picked up Peter Mrazek today or yesterday, but you did it. So does that like answer your question?
I was wrong when I did that.
Buffalo. I thought
that Peter Mrazek would be able to. Yeah. He lost to Buffalo.
Jeff Skinner, man.
They lost to Buffalo 5-1.
We
got to
talk about Jeff Skinner a little more warmly.
No, we don't. You can talk about Jeff Skinner. I'm not picking him up. Fuck that. I don't give a shit.
He doesn't suck this year. And Alex Tuch doesn't suck.
Alex Tuch never sucked.
But he's like really fucking interesting right now. And Tage Thompson, 6 goals in the last. Come on.
It's a BFG.
I can't wait to talk about Buffalo someday. Someday. Okay, so the goalie situation in Toronto, I think that's exactly what it is. It's a situation. And, you know, it's going to fluctuate. That's what happens. I think Jack Campbell needs a little rest. He needs a little reset. Mrazek, man, he really shat the crease tonight.
Well, he was letting in soft goals, which is what Peter Mrazek does sometimes. Just the way it is.
Soft dump in the corner. All right, last question. We talked about Mrazek and we talked about Campbell. I think it's going to flip-flop. I think Campbell is still the 1A. Ullmark. Would you drop Ullmark at this point for somebody like Kakanen or Mrazek?
Not Mrazek. Mrazek doesn't play enough.
I don't think Kakanen plays enough either.
Yeah, he does. He
also,
plays.
Like, you know, Ullmark and Swayman are, you know, Swayman's got the lead right now, but Ullmark's at least pulling in volume.
Kakanen is splitting a classic 60-40, but he's the 40.
So is Ullmark. But I guess, yeah, it would be lateral. But, you know, would you rather have Kakanen to Ullmark at this point?
No, I guess probably not. Because I guess in the long run, I trust Boston more. Unless they make a move for a different goalie. But I'm definitely not picking Mrazek. And I love the Leafs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what other goalies are out there, Gritty, who asked this question in the Discord.
You can find good pickup for goalies all the time, all over the place.
I might just turn it into a goalie stream spot, you know?
You know, look who's starting each day. Go on, you know, damn near any website about hockey. They'll tell you who the starting goalies are.
Lot of options this week.
We just named off 5 today.
Yeah, we did. Not Casey Smith, though.
Hell no.
That's the episode. If you guys want to find us, we're in this Discord here where you can hit us up with mailbag questions and we'll get to them. So hit us up there. It's fun answering questions and talking like to you guys through this. We got the week preview coming up this Sunday and then Tuesday trends. I think Tuesday trends should be like a playoff preview, something like who to target, what players you might target, what you might offer for that. So that would be fun. It's like a playoff preview type episode. And then go into some trends as well. So hit us up on Twitter. We're at FHF Hockey. And hit us up in the Discord. And we love you.
Love you.
Good to be back. Bye. Nuggets.